are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here from the Locked On Big 12 podcast. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting, best for you protein bar out there right now. On today's show, Jesse Newell and I continue our conversation, but we are talking KU football today. And the big question is, should Kansas hire a new head coach before the 2021 football season? There are a whole lot of schools of thought on this very topic. Jesse and I get into this roster as well, and how a coach could be successful at KU. It's a fun conversation. Hope you guys enjoy. Let's switch gears to football. And obviously you get the new athletic director. I know the question I'm getting so much is, will they hire the football coach now? That ship sailed to me. I mean, we're in spring football. Like, there's really no way that he could hire, I feel like, somebody at this point, especially with the players now getting acclimated to Emmett Jones. Like, that to me just seems like it would be the wrong move. And I feel like that ship might have sailed. Am I wrong on this?
You could be.
Okay.
You could be.
Okay.
Well, so here's where I would put that. And you might not be wrong. Let's start with that. I mean, you're right. The players love Emmett Jones. They've bandied for him on social media a couple different times to say he should be the guy. And if we're talking about the one thing that Charlie Weiss did so well in his tenure, Les Miles did so well in his tenure, regardless of everything else, he recruited high school players that were talented, that were good recruiting classes, brought them into Kansas, and helped fix the scholarship problem. And if KU can keep those guys on campus and keep them there, their rebuild might go a lot quicker than a lot of people think, because year after year, KU signed 25 high school players instead of going the JUCO route. And they've been middle of the pack in the Big 12. I mean, this is a team that finished middle of the pack in the Big 12 in the Rivals recruiting rankings last year and finished 0-9. I mean, they're not a team that they're finishing above like K-State in recruiting rankings. Why is that? There's no reason for that. Or Iowa State. Why is that? There's no reason for that. So KU has some good things going if they can keep those guys. Emmett Jones, that's kind of, I think, his hope for the job is, you don't want to turn this over. You want to keep the players you have. If it doesn't work out, interim coach. And then not only that, money-wise, to keep the current staff you have, it's still a pandemic year. KU was down $30 million in revenues for the last fiscal year. So keeping the current staff in place, I mean, that's going to save you a few million dollars if you're not going to bring in a new head coach. Having said that, the thing I will say is, who was on KU's list before they had an AD is probably still who is on KU's list now. And if those people, I'm talking about the Jeff Munkins and the Lance Leipolds of the world, if those guys want the Kansas job now, if they're willing to take it, if they're willing to leave their teams after spring ball and come on May 1st, I think you do it. I just think that way you get a jump start on the recruiting class. That way you have those questions answered and you might lose some players. But this is about so much more than players. I mean, KU has hired the wrong coach for a decade straight now, and you've seen what's happened because of that. You have to get the coach right. You have to get him in your program, and you have to get him started. So that, to me, is sort of the question mark here. And so far, Travis Goff, the new AD, has really taken his time. He hasn't rushed into things. He's talking with all the stakeholders, trying to figure out what to do. Obviously, he had to have a plan even when he went into the interviews to get the AD job about who he might want to hire. So I'm sure there's been some planning done before this to try to figure things out. But to me, if Jeff Munkin, Lance Leipold, you might even throw Willie Fritz in there from Tulane. If one of those guys is willing to take the job here in 2 weeks and get started, and that's the guy that Travis Goff has circled and said, this is the guy that needs to turn KU football around, I think you just do it. It would be awkward. It would be bad timing. It would be different. But the other thing I would tell you is, if Lance Leipold goes out there at Buffalo and finishes 11-1 after this season, Kansas won't have a shot at him.
Right.
He will take a better job. He was the runner-up at the Illinois job. He's been the runner-up at other Power 5 positions. So this is kind of an interesting scenario where it's not great timing, but then again, for Kansas, they're usually third or fourth in line when you get the coaching hires. So it could be good timing. Maybe they can pick off a guy like that before he takes the next job, which in November or December could be a much better gig than Kansas. So we'll see how it turns out, but I would definitely not rule it out even at this point in time. I definitely see the points you're making and understand that the roster turnover could be be bad. But, you know, Kansas has hired the wrong coach for so long now that if you get the right guy, you just got to hire.
Yeah. So Jeff Monken's the one name on this. I've wanted the Power Five team to pull the trigger on him for a while now. And I know, like, that's one of those where that makes sense, because the roster blowing up would just be a thing, because I mean, I assume when Jeff Monken comes, they're going to run the triple.
Well, like, I'll stop you there.
All right, he should do it. They should do it. I want him to so badly.
The whispers are that if Jeff Monken came to Kansas, he would not primarily run the triple.
Do option. Not, Jeff. I was depending.
Isn't that interesting? Yes.
So why? Okay. So I live in Virginia, full disclosure, and I watch Virginia Tech, team I love growing up. Biggest pain in the ass was always playing Georgia Tech, because the way they play, you know, you're preparing 1 week for Florida State. You've got Miami the next, you know, in 2 weeks. But guess who's in between? Georgia Tech. You got to face triple option in between Georgia Tech. And, like, it is something that I think with how Kansas has struggled mightily, I understand the recruiting classes have been getting better. But what you would need now as a coach to, if you want to go that route, is to pick that up where it's been. Because, I mean, Les, you know, for all of his shortcomings, was, like you mentioned, pretty good at recruiting. So I feel like if you're going to go that route, you need somebody to pick it up. Like you said, though, if you're going to have a coach that's coming now for the right guy and it blows up that recruiting, I feel like Jeff Monken's got to do it, because his style is very dependent on, you know, I'm going to get my players to come play my style. Now, if he did run the triple option, I would just be – that would break my heart, Jesse. I mean, that would I want it, especially this conference, because people always – you know, the defense is a lot better than everybody talks about. But the hilarity of, you know – Texas Tech versus Kansas, you know, one team is just going to throw it 55 times in the game. The other team's going to throw it maybe four. I want that. I want that in a Big 12 football game.
So, yeah, that's what's been fascinating about this, because I think there's a lot of people on your boat that's saying, hey, Kansas, nothing's worked for Kansas, so you might as well try something different and go zag complete when other people are zigging. But, yeah, that's been the whispers out there that Monken is more kind of a guy that would come in and surely run elements of it. You know what I mean? Like there would be option in the game, right, in the game plan, but – not necessarily do the whole thing, just because of, I think, the things you're talking about, which is you basically have to burn the thing to the ground to start with and then rebuild it back up. And this is sort of a unique job in that way, because I just told you, I mean, maybe it would have been better fit for Kansas, like when David Beatty took over, because then the roster was in horrible shape. You know, they were down 20 scholarship players. Charlie Weiss kicked a bunch of guys off the team. They'd gone heavy JUCO. I mean, maybe then the roster was already torn down. That's when you build it back up. But like I said, I think why this is intriguing to particular coaches at this moment in time, where maybe it wouldn't be before, is Kansas played some true freshmen last year that, again, get the year back if they want them to. They were pretty good. You know, like they have some guys, they have the makings of a roster, which, again, this is not normal with Kansas, but because of the recruiting that's happened, I mean, you don't have to squint that hard to say, okay, so KU now has a guy who played as a true freshman last year, can be sort of considered a redshirt freshman this year, and he's got 2 years of Big 12 experience, and he was already a pretty highly ranked recruit, and he's now you got him for this year and three more after that. I mean, this thing might be a little bit closer, but you mentioned it with the Paul Johnson. I covered a game at Georgia Tech that KU played. Let me read off the numbers here. 66-24. Georgia Tech wound up with a measly total of 768 yards in that game. So, yeah, they made T-shirts after that one. That was how bad the beatdown was of that Turner Gill team. But, yeah, so it's fascinating, if nothing else, because, yeah, there are a lot of clamors for KU to run the triple option, do something totally different. But, you know, if we're being completely honest, there's been many more sins that these previous four coaches have had at Kansas rather than just not running the triple option. Yeah. There's been other things that have gone wrong. And obviously Mark Mangino showed back about 15 years ago now that if you just do some simple things, have a kind of a workmanlike effort, recruit in state, you know, make right decisions and kind of grind your way up, there's a way to turn this program around without, you know, doing something that's that's by some considered a little bit gimmicky. But we'll see how it turns out. Again, Monken's still a top name, even if he doesn't run the triple option, based on what he's done. And so we'll see if he ends up at Kansas. There's at least a possibility that happens.
Quick pause for the cause on today's show. We are brought to you by betonline.ag. You guys know the deal. Football season is over, as is college hoop season, but you can still get in on all the action. MLB, NHL, Champions League, Super League apparently is coming if you're a soccer fan, MMA, boxing, celebrity boxing, all those things are available at betonline.ag. All you guys got to do is use your mobile device or computer, sign up at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, locked on. And you guys will receive a 50% deposit bonus. So if you deposit $100, you get an extra 50 as well. Once again, that is betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Yeah, for me, the keys for them, you know, in recruiting is you need to make inroads in Kansas City, obviously. You got to make inroads, and they need to push their way into St. Louis if they can. I mean, St. Louis is now that's going to be challenging because St. Louis is so heavily recruited by not just Missouri and Illinois, but, you know, you'll see Oklahoma goes up there and gets guy into Ohio State goes in there, get a couple guys. And then also Texas, you know, you need to be able to get those kind of, you know, some of those pick off a couple of those three-star guys in Texas that a lot of schools are competing for. I mean, there's so much competition in that state for a lot of those players, but, you know, you need to be able to pick some of those guys off, and as opposed to them going to the SMUs, the Houstons of the world, maybe convince a couple of those kids to go to KU. And I think they can, like you said, they've got some talent there. It's not like it's impossible. I just think you need somebody with that, you know, bright can do attitude. You know, I think maybe it doesn't have to be as young, right? He doesn't always be, you know, the youngest guy in the world, but if, you know, I always use Chris Beard as an example for basketball. If you can build a winner in Lubbock, Texas, then there's really no, you can build a winner anywhere, right? You can win basketball games anywhere. Matt Campbell in Iowa State, I mean, Ames, Iowa, he has built a team that, according to the FBI, is, you know, fourth best team in the country this year. You can do it. It's not impossible.
I hate to tell you this, Josh, but you're describing Lance Leipold right now. Yeah, that's okay. The guy you're describing. Because right, Lance Leipold is the John Beilein of college football. You know, like, he won Division III. He just kept winning national titles. Somebody gave him a chance, and then he's just – Buffalo is not an easy spot to win at. I mean, and he just wins and wins and wins and wins. One year, they win it with the best passing offense in the league. Next year, they win it with the best rushing offense in the league. So, again, that to me is a reason why he's at the top of the list, because it's just a guy who has just proven when he has something to prove, he does it. And I agree with you. The thing about Kansas is – you just need, it's a difficult job. You have to have that energy every single day. I mean, it seems to me like, and I've heard this from people, you know, KU's had coaches here that have gotten up and for the first few months they've been motivated and they've done it and they've done the job and they've worked hard. It just grinds on you. You have to be able, after 6 months of having dirt thrown in your face, you have to still get up and attack it with that same sort of vigor. And it seems to me like, you know, KU had some things going for a while, but then they just had to have had these coaches, especially ones toward the end of their career, that sort of have hit a wall where it's like, I don't have the
right
to do this anymore. And again, it doesn't have to be an age thing, but the Lance Leipold thing potentially, I mean, that seems like that sort of guy where he just – there's a, for a guy like that to be at Division III and always win and then finally get a shot at Division I and now he's winning. I mean, you know, the chip on the shoulder is just right, a boulder. You know what right, I mean? So right, that might be the sort of guy, again, if he will take the Kansas job, if he will take it here after spring ball, basically, if he wants that next challenge and wants to step up to that and has shown kind of an adaptiveness with what he does, that to me is what puts him at the top of Kansas lists. I mean, I know Munkin and, like I said, Fritz are kind of the other two that names get thrown around, but that to me is the guy that potentially, with all that's gone wrong with Kansas coaching hires, he could be what goes right.
Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting, best for you protein bar in the game today. We've been telling you guys about Built Bar for a long time. If you have not tried it yet, what in the hell are you waiting for? Built Bar is the low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate. Remember this promo code. It is LOCKED15. It's LOCKED15, LOCKED15. If you guys go to builtbar.com right now, use that promo code, once again, LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off on your first purchase. What are you waiting for? Go to builtbar.com right now. Try all of their amazing Built Bars. Get the variety pack. Use that promo code, LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off on your next purchase at builtbar.com. The adaptability part's huge too. You know, so many guys have their system, their offense, whether it be basketball or football. But like you mentioned, the ability to adapt your team, and that's what you're going to have in a place like Kansas, because you're not always going to be able to get, you know, you're like Texas Tech. You know, they might not recruit at the highest level, but they always have somebody who can slant it, right? That's, you know, the quarterback. That is not how it's going to work at KU all the time. And so I do think you're right with the adaptability part of it. It makes a lot of sense. I do think there is something to the players kind of having to support that coach in the sense of, like, you know, with the grind, like the coach needs to walk into the building and the players and kind of be buoyed by the players. Right. Kind of like, that's kind of what carries them. I like the fact that right now, at least the players are behind the coach, which I think is at a place like this, at this moment in time, with everything Kansas has gone through as athletic department, is good. Now, your point is well taken. If you can get a guy like Leopold now, you got to go and get it. But even if he does have a good season, you know, we've seen it. There is no guarantee he leaves. I mean, we've seen it. I thought we've seen a lot more of those coaches not capitalizing over the past year than I thought we would. Jamie Chadwell not capitalizing, totally blanking on the Cincinnati coach. Who am I thinking of?
Google's our friend. I'll get it while you keep talking.
Yes. Whatever the hell Cincinnati's coach name is, I thought he would be definitely a big candidate for a job. Matt Campbell, even to some extent too, would be somebody that, you know, I thought so.
Luke Fickell.
Yes. Can't believe it. I think there's a chance that he, you know, Kansas could get him. I mean, especially if they've been flirting with him and they make some communication and say, hey, look, we need some time to, you know, sit here. You're our guy, you know, in the near future, barring anything crazy happening, like Kansas going to a bowl. But, you know, I feel like maybe you could wait, but you might be right. You're probably right. I doubt you could.
Well, it's tricky. This is tough for Travis Goff because, and I said this from the beginning and I've written about this from the beginning, this is not a job where, okay, I'm going to get nice and comfy in my office chair and settle in for 6 months and figure out how things are going. I mean, no, like, you have to make a decision on a football coach. Like right now, you stepped in the job last week. It's time to hire a football coach, but it's tricky. I mean, it's a tricky scenario because by making Emmett Jones the interim coach, he really was the player's coach, the player's choice, all those sorts of things. So, you know, you do risk losing a lot of the progress you made the last 2 years. And KU went through so many on-field growing pains to do this. And recruiting-wise, did the right thing. Like, they finally did the right thing, and you could really blow a lot of it by guys could instantly transfer. I mean, they just passed that rule yesterday, or are going to come out with it today, basically, that these guys can immediately transfer and be eligible in college football. And it could not be worse timing for Kansas football. I mean, if this would happen last year, they would have many less concerns. But, you know, you don't know the domino effect. What if the top guy goes? And then, okay, every other guy's looking around. Am I going? Are you going? Is Emmett Jones staying? All those sorts of things. So that's the other question is the next coach, if you hire him at this point, do you bring in two or three of your guys and leave the rest of the staff? Again, KU would, if you want to completely replace the whole staff at this point in time, not only is that kind of a bad move just personnel-wise, I mean, it's tough for those guys that are now out of jobs. I guess they'll still get paid, but KU would cost them $2 to $3 million, you would think, if you're getting rid of all your coordinators and everything. So do you bring in a couple of your own guys and then more after the year? Do you keep completely with KU staff that's gone with guys through spring ball? The problem is, again, you have to take a step back. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, how important is 2021 KU football? It's not that important. It really isn't. I mean, they've had a whole decade of bad football. So if Leipold is the guy and he's willing to come and he's willing to take it and he's the top guy on your list and there might be more growing pains in 2021, I think you just have to shrug your shoulders and go get him. And it might cause some roster turnover. But again, you're making a decision for 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years from now. And you just can't worry that much about one or two guys potentially leaving, and maybe they'll like the guy. Maybe he'll stick around. Maybe Emma Jones will stick around. Maybe you'll keep him. Maybe you'll surprise yourself. But it's tough for Travis Goff. I'm not saying it's an easy decision, but I don't think it can be made. A decision can be made out of fear. And I don't think it's a decision that can be made for the short term. I think this is going to be what he's judged upon, maybe more than anything else throughout his entire tenure. And he's only a week on the job. So if it's the long-term guy, it's the long-term guy. You just got to go and get him.
Kind of bring this full circle and we'll wrap up on this, but the transfer rule in football, you know, I'm sure you saw Lincoln Riley with the Chandler Morris situation, blocking him at TCU and not allowing him to practice, you know, because he's just fundamentally against transferring within conference. I'm fine with it. Are you? I have no problems with transferring it within conference.
So, I mean, I'm going to be a little bit, all this should have happened a long time ago. I mean, I'm just going to basically say, like, the way that it's set up, for too long, the coaches have had the power and the administrators have had the power and the ADs have had the power and things are shifting. And that's how it should have been. You even look at basketball. I know a lot of people saying, well, maybe they shouldn't allow transfers until after their freshman year. Kids should stick around. No, no, no. I mean, listen, this happens all the time. Players get basically told they need to leave. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So for that reason, when players are told you don't have a spot available anymore, whether that's legal or not, they need to have immediate eligibility elsewhere. And so you're talking about the conference. I know there's a lot of people wondering, like, hey, there's going to be what's the word? You know, people are going to be talking to them in season. There's going to be, I'm missing the word, but, you know, basically tampering.
Yeah,
you know, there's going to be tampering. It'd be, oh, yeah, there's going to be coaches talking to them after the game. They're going to bring him in or whatever. The bottom line is this. Maybe there's a little bit of that, but overwhelmingly, these kids should have the ability to go where they want to go and play. I mean, you think about in professional sports, what keeps players at a certain place? Contracts do. Money mm-hmm. does. All those sorts of things. You have to sign them up for a deal. There's none of that in college athletics. I mean, these kids are coming for, you know, a little bit of stipend money and tuition. So these kids deserve to have the freedom and the ability to transfer and transfer freely. So, yeah, I think this is a move that's a long time coming. Again, I'm probably not going to be the person that is normally talking on these shows about this sort of thing, but I definitely think it's time that the power structure is swung more towards the players instead of the coaches. And if that means that players want to transfer in conference and be eligible next year, I think that's totally fine.
Yeah, I was just confused why Oklahoma was against it, because I feel like at a place like Kansas, right, you know, maybe I think the example would be Kapuka Williams. If you said, hey, you want to come play for Oklahoma behind our offensive line and, you know, raise your draft stock, Khalil Herbert, you know, another example, you know, of a guy, you know, went to Virginia Tech from KU. Hey, you know, where is he now? Right. He's up on draft boards. You know, hey, I just was confused why Lincoln Riley wasn't like, this is good for us. We are Oklahoma. We can push.
And what I think that people don't consider with that is you're absolutely right with those two. You know, could Texas come calling for Puka Williams? Absolutely. But the flip side of that is exactly what we talked about with Kansas and Quentin Grimes, which is
right. Guys like going down.
Exactly. So Kansas a few years ago got Dalen Charlotte from Alabama. Mm-hmm. He transferred in. Dalen Charlotte was seventh string or sixth string for Alabama. He was first string for Kansas.
Yeah.
This thing works both ways.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So for every player out there that's a Puka Williams that says, hey, maybe I want to go play at Oklahoma, there's a player that's buried.
Chandler Morris at TCU.
That's what I'm telling you. There's a player that's buried sixth string on a really good team that says, you know, this was a good decision for me. I thought out of high school, but mm-hmm. I want to go play football and I want to play at the Power Five level. And I'd love to go play at Kansas. So that's how, again, that leads to more chaos. It leads to more transfers, but that's how this has to work. It has to be an open market mm-hmm. and that can work for both schools, both the ones at the top of the tier and ones at the bottom of the tier as well.
All right, Jesse, what are you working on right now?
Well, KU has breaking news about every day with its roster situation. So it's, you know, this sort of roster flux is not always great for the beat writers. But yeah, some different things in the offseason. Spring football is starting to wrap up for Kansas. They're actually, their spring game is May 1st. So monitoring that. Obviously, they're in a football coaching search. So kind of mm-hmm. keeping the ear down with that. And then just did a Q&A about all the topics, you know, KU transfers and all that sort of stuff. So it's always basketball season in Lawrence as well. So yeah, always busy at the Star. But part of this is sort of waiting on breaking news as well, which, you know, the Jayhawks have not let us down in that regard. So I'm sure there'll be plenty of that in the weeks to come as well.
All right, Jesse Newell, Kansas City Star, we appreciate your time.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, that will do it for today's show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LOBig12. Follow me at @JoshNeighbors_. We want to thank Jesse Newell for his time. It was an awesome, fun conversation. Check us out, guys, once again, Twitter, and follow us wherever you guys get your podcasts. Give us a review, rate, and subscribe. We'll have some more football content, kind of draft-related, coming throughout the week.